You're listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming night, with reviews, news, discussions, and calling out bullshit in the gaming industry. Along with your host, longtime gamer, master of the obvious, and grumpiest old man, Matt Ailey. What's going on? What's going on? What is going on? I will tell you what is going on. Xbox is back, baby. Xbox is back. Man, they came to play. They are killing. Xbox is a train that is rolling down the track, and any fool who is in its way is getting rolled the hell over. That is what's going on. Xbox is back. Welcome to episode 4 of Gaming Night Radio. Thank you for listening and taking a chance on this podcast and coming to hang out with me today. Ooh, and as you can tell, I'm very, very, very happy with what we saw from the Xbox Bethesda showcase today. Oh my god. Oh my god. This is literally years and years in the making. We have waited so long for Xbox to get back to some sort of former glory. It has been the underdog for years at E3. For years. And on its 20th anniversary, they have come to play and they killed it. That was probably one of the best conferences I have ever seen. I am so impressed with what they did, and we will break that down on today's episode. So we're obviously going to be talking about Xbox and Bethesda today. Man, they brought the heat. So we'll break down their conference. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about Square Enix's conference today, specifically probably the Marvel games. Marvel from Square Enix, so we'll talk about that a little bit here as well. But listen, we have a lot of content to dig through. I'm so excited. I just have to breathe for a sec. Ooh, I just have to relax because, okay. I'm good. You good? You good? Okay, I'm good. We have a lot of content to dig through today. Lots of questions for you. So if you have thoughts, questions, topics, content you'd like to see on this podcast, you can contact me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. Now that that's all out of the way, let's get into our first topic, which is obviously Xbox and Bethesda. Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm so excited to break this down. So, okay, overall, my overall thoughts when it comes to Xbox, obviously you can tell I'm very happy, very excited about it. But these guys came to play. These guys came to play on their 20th anniversary. They weren't messing around. And this was easily my favorite so far of E3, and I doubt they'll be topped. The atmosphere and the construction of the presentation really captured that energy, excitement, that mystery that I have been missing with these online presentations so far for the last couple years. I really felt like it was an E3 conference. I could almost hear the crowds cheering, even though no one was there. But it felt like we were there. It just, like, the games were great, but honestly, just how they put together that presentation, how they put together that conference was masterful. It was masterfully done. And I will go as far to say today, Xbox has won E3. And I don't think I'm going to get too many arguments on that. But as of today, from what I just saw, I'm confident to say Xbox has won E3. And what a way to start, right? They come in with Todd Howard and confirming Starfield is an Xbox exclusive. So right off the bat, they're not pulling any punches. They're hammering that nail in. Bethesda is a part of Xbox. There ain't no confusion anymore. There is going to be Bethesda exclusive games for Xbox because Bethesda is part of Xbox. There ain't no more discussions. Someone's asked, well, is it going to be exclusive? Are they really part of it? Or is Bethesda still going to do their own thing? Xbox showed up today and said, Did I stutter? It was amazing. They just came, nailed it, clear as freaking day. There is no more confusion. And I loved how they rolled in and did this. Not to mention the huge variety of games that they showed today. From single-player narratives to huge multiplayer games, to high-speed first-person shooters, to slower, thoughtful third-person mysteries. From gritty, neon-lit streets to cartoon-styled adventures. From the stars hundreds of years from now to post-apocalyptic mudholes. I mean, whatever type of gameplay, art style, genre, setting you like to play in, there's a game for you. And it's likely coming to Game Pass. So let's look at Game Pass. 30 games are shown today. 27 games are coming to Game Pass. Out of the 30 games that were shown today, 27 games are coming to Game Pass. Who says Xbox has no games? Huh? Who says that narrative's dead now? After today, that narrative's dead. I mean, you can keep it if you like, if it helps you sleep at night. But that narrative's dead. Not only do they not have games and great exclusives on the way, Game Pass is filling up with games that you pay your monthly fee for, and you get access to hundreds of games. And the value of Game Pass is about to explode. Here's some of the games that are coming to Game Pass that they announced today. Stalker 2, Back 4 Blood, Contraband, Day 1 on Game Pass. 12 Minutes, Psychonauts 2, Party Animals, that crazy little game. Day 1, Game Pass, Somerville, Replaced, Age of Empires 4, Flight Simulator, The Outer Worlds 2, Day 1, Game Pass, Starfield, Halo Infinite, Forza Horizon 5. You guessed it, Day 1 Game Pass. And I didn't even name them all. There were so many games that were shown, and some are just incredible. Some look just so interesting. And maybe not every game is for everyone, but everyone's going to be able to find something they love. It's such a variety of games, and they're mostly all coming to Game Pass day and date when they release. That is an incredible value. And by the way, did you know Bethesda dropped 10 more games into Game Pass just today, including Doom 2016, Wolfenstein 2, and Fallout 3? All on Game Pass. That is the best deal in gaming right now. And today they just reaffirmed that it's going to keep getting better. It's going to keep getting even better. Now, I can't talk about all these games today that they talked about in the Microsoft press conference because it's just too damn many. We'd be here for hours and hours on end. But in the coming weeks, I will for sure talk about more of these games because I have a lot of share and so many thoughts. So many thoughts. But for today, let's focus on three of them. Starfield, Halo Infinite, and Forza Horizon 5. So tell me, do you have Game Pass? Are you excited with what got announced? Which games look the most interesting to you? Let me know what's on your mind. All right, so let's move into talking about these three heavy hitters that showed up today that we're going to focus the majority of our podcast and attention span on. Starfield, Halo Infinite, Forza Horizon 5. So let's start with the game they led off with, and that was Starfield. Now, we only got a teaser here, but there's a few things we can take away from this first look at this game. Number one, it looks beautiful. There's a lot of people who are saying, oh, that's just a CGI trailer, man. That's just CGI. Like, no, that is in-game graphics, baby. That is in-game graphics. And this game looks damn beautiful. It is a really, really good looking game. This one is a next-gen game, right? So it's not going to have that old gen stuff holding it back. They can really push the limits with the engine, really push the limits with the visuals, get the best that they can get out of the Xbox Series X and S, be able to push those limits. And we can really see it when we're looking at this game and the amount of detail and the lighting and the textures and everything they got going on in this game. It really looks beautiful. Now, this is the Creation Engine 2, Bethesda's engine. We know kind of from the past and looking at their games, they've kind of kept the same engine and just like literally adding on like bits and pieces. It's like the Frankenstein of game engines. Bethesda's engine is like an old beater ass car, but instead of all being one type of car, it's like multiple different cars all welded on to one frame. It doesn't look really good, but it kind of works for them sometimes. But this Creation Engine 2, which at least is an upgraded version of that, so maybe from a buggy to a Ferrari with a bunch of crap welded on, it looks really nice. I have nothing bad to say about how this game looks and how the graphic fidelity and how the details are coming out. It looks like a good game. I can't complain about the graphics. I love that we're getting this gritty sci-fi universe. I love that we're able to even take a look at the mechs. And we know there's going to be space flight, and clearly there's going to be some sort of planetary exploration. The question is, honestly, how far are they going to take it? Is it just going to be, you know, a couple planets here and there? I don't think it's going to be, you know, like a No Man's Sky level of exploration, because that would be probably pretty crazy. But I could see it being a very big area that we're able to explore. Definitely multiple different planets, environments. And maybe that mech's going to help us do exploring. Like, we have no idea what the plot is of this game. We have no idea what any more of the gameplay looks like than we got from that little teaser. But what we did see from it was exciting. Beautiful graphics. I just love and how everything is designed and the way the world looks. And again, asking, it brings up those questions of how far are they going to take it? What other planets are we going to see? What environments are going to we able to play in? And it's just, it's exciting because right now the possibilities are limitless. We'll have to probably wait till next year to get a really good look at this game, but that'll come quick enough. It even gave us their launch date, which was kind of in the launch code of the ship, which was a really cool way to show it off. So November 11th, 2022 is the launch date. And again, this is a next-gen game, Xbox exclusive. It is not coming to the PlayStation. This one is an Xbox exclusive. And personally, I'm excited to see more. I thought we would see a little bit more today because it was kind of, you know, in the promo image. But we didn't see a lot, but I'm excited to see more. And honestly, I like the designs of what we've seen and the world aesthetic that they presented. And hopefully it'll be a real exciting game and live up to our expectations. So that was Starfield. Great way to start the show with something we've all been really waiting to see. Next up, Halo Infinite. The one thing I gotta say, the one thing about the conference, the one thing about seeing all these different games, is you don't get those breakdowns. Now, they may come later in the week, they may even show up tomorrow, but you don't really get like those full campaign 10, 15 minute gameplay sections. It's very quick looks at even the bigger games. There's not a lot of time to spare, right? So that is the one downfall when it comes to these presentations, but like, I'm not really complaining. If I had a complaint about it, that would be it, that I don't get to see more of what I'm loving. But what did we see when we looked at Halo Infinite? We didn't see a lot, but there was definitely some things that were noticeable. A, graphics look a hell of a lot better. Chief is looking great. The environments and the world that we saw is looking great. The lighting's looking better. It's a considerable step up from what we saw last year. And that is the benefit of delaying games. That is the benefit of delaying games. Because it's not like It's not like these games are finished and on the shelf and then they get delayed. Know what I mean? And they're just like, oh, we have the finished game, but we're not letting you play it. Like, the games are not finished. If there is a delay, it's because there is a reason. We saw with Cyberpunk 2077 what happens when you should delay a game and you don't. When you should delay a game by at least a year and you don't. We see the result of that. But now we're seeing the result of what happens when you need to delay a game a year, and you do. Even though that is your console launch game, that is the big game you're promoting for your console launch, they knew they needed to delay it, and they did. And now we're going to reap the rewards. It's going to be a better experience for us, and a better experience for the developers. So already, we're reaping those rewards. The graphics look considerably better. Considerably better than last time. And I'm very excited to put that in my Xbox Series X and see how that looks in person. Whew, this is going to be a beautiful game. But let's take a quick look here. Halo Infinite, we didn't get too much from the campaign. So we didn't get a lot of new info as far as like seeing big stretches of campaign gameplay. But what we saw was, I think, pretty important pieces of the story. We got this introduced to this brand new character. And I don't know her name. I don't know if it's new Cortana or like daughter of Cortana. It honestly brings up more questions than answers. But it's great to know that Chief is also going to continue to have an AI that's with him. He's going to be able to build this relationship with someone else. So we got the cool pilot, Brohammer. I think that's what he's been called on the internet. And we get this new Cortana, this younger one, this new AI. And whether it's a Cortana or not, looks like Cortana, maybe different name. I don't know. But is it, again, is it a copy of Cortana? Was it made the same way as Cortana, which is kind of a clone of Halsey that's made different from every other AI? And brings up the question, but gives us a little insight into the campaign, because I think some of us were worried, or at least I was, that even though I didn't love the direction they took Halo 5, doesn't mean I want those story threads to just be cut. Like, listen, if you're going to take us to a narrative that isn't working, or that isn't very strong, we go through the Halo 5 campaign and it's rough, it's even worse if you just cut that and completely switch to something new, because now you just wasted my time. For the next game, it's your job to take those things that weren't great and improve upon the story. Don't backtrack. Don't change things. Take the story, even imperfect as it was, and continue with it and improve it. Make that time in Halo 5 better. Improve the game just by having a better sequel. Don't take away from it, right? So I'm excited to see what happens now, because clearly Cortana is still in the picture. This thing, it kind of worried me, because we were seeing a lot about the Banished over the last couple years, and I was like, is Cortana even still a thing? We don't know, but clearly she still is, because this AI was supposed to get deleted once Cortana was deleted. She's still there. So it brings up the question, clearly Cortana still is too. Is she a villain though? Is she an ally? We'll have to wait and see. We also got to see Chief kind of in that more personal state. Like, I loved the mood of the little scene that we got between Chief and new Cortana, I'm gonna call her. I just loved the mood of it. We got to see Chief feeling like a character again. We got to see that in Halo 4 and how Chief reacted to Cortana. And you can tell he had those emotions, and we're seeing a side of Chief that we'd never seen before, because he genuinely cares about Cortana. Maybe the only person he genuinely cares about is Cortana to that level. And we got to see that in Halo 4. Halo 5, he cared, and clearly his actions led to showing he cared, but we never really got to see it. We're just told about it. But a lot of Chief's dialogue was like, yes, no, let's go. Like, people, like, Fred was literally talking to him when they landed on, Genesis planet? He's like, Chief, where's Cortana? What's going on? And he's just like, let's go. Like, he didn't even respond to him, you know? Like, just, it wasn't just even the lack of dialogue, but it was just the lack of character at all that was in existence. Other than the very beginning and kind of the very end, then we saw a little bit of flashes of character from Chief. But already, just in this one cutscene, we're seeing Chief again feeling more like a character, having emotional reactions, having this kind of tender moment with this new Cortana. Missions change. They always do. It was some line like that. But it was a really great moment. So I think not only are we going to get great gameplay, great action, not only are we going to have this huge, open, expansive world that we're going to play this game in, we're going to have moments that are also really intense, but also those kind of calm character moments as well that was missing, really missing, and felt like it was missing from the last game. So I'm very excited about this. It brings up a lot of questions, this small little snippet that we saw, but it also brings a lot of confirmations and pretty important pieces of the story that are going to play a bigger part as we roll through the campaign. All right, let's go into the multiplayer free-to-play. Multiplayer free-to-play. Well, it's free-to-play. I guess that's what I'm saying. Multiplayer is free-to-play. And it looked exciting. It looked like it had some really nice potential there. I wasn't sure when they were getting rid of a lot of the movement stuff from Halo 5. I actually liked that stuff. I thought it added a whole new dynamic. But listen, we saw some interesting new vehicles, mainly like Brute style, which was cool, or Banished style, right? The Red Banshee, the Red Chopper, the Red Ghost. I was like, that's kind of cool. Loving the different aesthetic change from the normal Covenant stuff. Very good. Loving it. We got to see new gadgets. There's different gear. The grapple hook is going to be in multiplayer, and I don't know if it's going to be a gear piece you have to pick up or it's something your Spartan's going to really always have. But if your Spartan always has that grapple hook, man, that adds a total new element into this game. That makes it really, really exciting. Because if you can go from the bottom of a level and get verticality, like, immediately. If you are flying in a Banshee and you know someone can just grapple up and steal your Banshee, well, you're going to be a bit more careful. So it definitely adds this whole different element. When someone can just zip line up to the level you're on, come up behind you and kill you, like, it just adds this whole nother level for the hunter and the prey. We also got to see some real nice different armor sets as well. So ultimately at the end of the day, when it comes to the multiplayer, like, there wasn't a ton of stuff to break down. We got to see some really interesting gameplay, but I want to see more. Show me more. Because this has really, really, really great potential, and I can't wait to see what they do with it. Halo Infinite, day one, Game Pass. We didn't get a release date, but we know it's going to be probably in the fall, in the holiday season. I can imagine it would probably be whatever the anniversary is for the Xbox and Halo 1. Like, if you're already doing it on the same year, why wouldn't you if you're already doing it on the same year, why wouldn't you literally just put on the same day? So that's my speculation with what they're going to do. They haven't landed on a day yet, but I'm pretty sure whatever that anniversary is, I'd have to look it up. I think it's November sometime. That's when this game's coming out. I would put money on it. But yeah, overall, my main complaint here is I just want to see more. It looked really good and I liked what I saw. And I'm hoping, you know, I was hoping we were going to get a deeper dive into this thing, but regardless, over the months, over the days, I'm sure we're going to get to see more very soon. I'm excited to play this game, and now I'm a little bit more intrigued with where the story is going and where the characters are going. Very exciting. Loved it. Glad we got to see it. Next game, Forza Horizon 5. I keep screwing this up with, like, Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to keep saying, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, but it's like, no, it's Forza Horizon 5. This game is taking place in a beautiful, beautiful recreation of Mexico. If you want to see the power of Series X, this right here is the Series X showcase game. This right here is the Series X showcase game. The graphics are stunning, damn near photorealistic, with the details of the plants, the gravel, the sky, the lighting. I was sure it was like a video of a real hillside in Mexico till the cars come rolling in. That's how good it looked. Those cars rolled in and it was mind blown. The world itself and the details they add, like that mural that they showed off, are just signs of the effort that they put into recreating this world. Not just the environments and the plants and all that, which is amazing, but the effort they put into really recreating Mexico itself. This game looks bloody fantastic. Bloody fantastic. We also got to see kind of this little glimpse of a new campaign mode. Events Labs, where you get to create your own experiences and your own challenges, which looks pretty cool. All I have to say about this game is, like, and there's not too much to say, because it's not like this is a big character-driven narrative game. It's just this fun sandbox car racing game. But from what I've seen, like, just how beautiful it is and how great everything looks, and from the 4K to the ray tracing, like, this is the promise of next gen right here. This is the promise of next gen. And it just visually is mind-boggling. Playground Games completely knocked it out of their park. Completely knocked it out of the park with their attention to detail. I've never played these games, but I'm telling you, this will be the first time I play a Forza Horizon game. This will be my first when it comes out on November 9th. When it comes out on November 9th on Game Pass. Day and date. To get this game for the price of your subscription and all of the other games that were mentioned today is just mind-boggling. To have this and Halo Infinite in the same year coming to Game Pass on day one, oh, that is some mind-boggling shit. Like I said, Game Pass is the best value in gaming right now, and it's about to get even better. That value is about to multiply like tenfold. It is going to be crazy. Xbox One E3. Xbox One E3. From the games to how the presentation was constructed, everything was just top notch. They came to play. They came to play. And you could feel the confidence, which is nice to see after Xbox spent a generation on the back foot. But after 20 years of ups and downs, this really was their victory lap. Xbox is back, baby. Xbox is back. Well done, Uncle Phil. Well done. So what did you think of the Xbox Bethesda conference? Do you feel as positive as me? And what games are you looking forward to? Let me know what's on your mind. Alright, let's move on to our third topic of the day. Third and final, Square Enix Presents. Now, this was a shorter presentation that had some interesting announcements and had the time to dig a little deeper into a couple of their games. Overall, I thought it was okay. I see on the internet people are saying this was freaking terrible. It seems like a majority of people didn't like it. I thought for the time that I spent in here, because it was fairly short, I didn't feel like they're wasting my time. It was just like, boom, 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 see you later. And I was like, oh, we're done already? Okay. So for the amount of time I spent in it, I didn't think it was terrible. I'm not saying the games were super quality, and I'm not saying that I had any clue what was going on for like 70% of it. Most of it, I was like, what am I looking at here? I'm so confused, because clearly, these just aren't my types of games that I play. But I know a lot of people love them. But apparently, not a lot of people loved this conference. But let's take a look at it anyway. And let's take a quick look at what they had to offer. Guardians of the Galaxy was the first and the longest game that we really got to take a look at. Yes, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy game. Marvel has once again teamed up with Square Enix to bring us a Marvel game. Even though they did it with Avengers, and Avengers is terrible, so this game has a long way to go to prove itself. Now, when I saw it, there was things I liked, and there was things I didn't quite like about this game, and, or, at least to be fair, definitely not sure of until I can actually get a better look at it and play it some more. What I do like was that this is a single-player, narrative-driven game. That is a good thing. That is a huge thumbs up. Because I was so worried we get like an Avengers 2.0 with this thing. I was so worried we were going to get like, hey, play as these guys. And we'll add different types of Guardians. Because over the comic books, there's been different members coming and going from the Guardians. And that's kind of what I was worried about. We're just going to get Avengers 2.0. Same lackluster content. Same hugely monetized store. That's what I was worried about. The fact that this is single player, narrative driven game, no multiplayer stuff. That's a really big thumbs up for this Marvel property. So this is huge. The narrative, I hope, is good. I have no way of knowing. From what we only saw a little bit at the beginning, no idea how that's going to spin out and actually affect the rest of the game. So we'll have to wait and see. I felt, another positive thing, I felt they had mostly hit on their characters as far as how they were written. And they're not really easy characters to always capture, right? Because the Guardians have this very, each character has this very dynamic personality that clashes and bounces off the other ones. It's like trying to, if you like threw like six bouncy balls in a room and then tried to herd them into some organized fashion, like, and try and catch them all, like it's just not going to work. Like these bouncy balls are freaking everywhere, hitting each other, bouncing off walls. That's kind of what the Guardians are like. And I gotta feel like writing them and trying to land on these characters has gotta be like trying to be funny on purpose. You know, if you're not a stand-up comedian and you're trying to be funny in a script or writing something down, like, it's tough. Most of us can be funny to our friends in the moment, you know? But to actually sit down, write something, and try to be funny on purpose is, it's a really tough gig, really tough. And I feel like that's kind of what the trying to write the Guardians has got to be like. It's got to be like trying to be funny on purpose, to try and organize those bouncy balls to hit off each other in just the right way, that it brings us satisfaction, that it brings us a laugh, that it brings us, you know, these character moments. And that's got to be really, really tough. So those are the few things that I like. It's not too much. I like that single player, but that's a huge, huge part. That's such a big part for me. And I felt like they mostly hit on the characters when it came to the writing. There were some things I was like, not quite, but there was a couple moments in there that I was like, I think you mostly hit them. Now for other than the writing, my first impressions of the character designs, I don't really like. I'm not a big fan of the character designs kind of at this first look. And maybe they'll grow on you as you keep playing the game. But at first look, didn't like the character designs. Didn't really care for the voice performances. That was a little bit also of a miss for me. I felt that some were not quite... You know when you have that thing where you look at someone and you have this idea how they sound, and then words come out of their mouth and you're like, ah, that is not what I was expecting at all. And that's kind of what it feels like for me. Sometimes the voices and the things that are coming out of their mouth doesn't match really how they look or how you kind of feel like they'd sound. It creates this weird, uneven, unbalanced feeling for me. So like the performances are kind of a hit miss for me, especially Peter Quill. Like it just felt off. Wasn't a fan of the combat just from looking at it. The UI looks too busy. Like that was kind of the big thing for me. You have like a lot of, seems like there's a lot of little flashy things, kind of focused areas. It seems like there's a lot going on with the UI, especially when you're bringing up the Guardian's control wheel kind of tool. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know how it's going to feel smoothly in combat. But it just kind of looked like it was a little bit messy on the screen. And the combat itself looked a bit stiff. Now, combat can look one way in the screen and play completely different once you get your hands on the controller. And that's kind of the same for the designs and the voice actors. It's like, well, once you get used to it, maybe it's just completely fine. So these are just things that kind of bugged me a little bit that, like, I just don't have my hands on the game. I'm just watching this presentation, but watching it, it feels a little bit off to me. It doesn't feel quite right. And the combat just, it doesn't look interesting, doesn't look overly fun. That UI is really busy. Again, looks a little bit stiff. One thing I'm disappointed about, though, that's not really about the gameplay or playing it more or less. I'm disappointed you can't jump from character to character, but you can only play as Peter Quill. And that's what they said. Maybe there'll be certain missions where you do get to take control of other characters. I don't know. Throughout the game. But from what they have communicated, you only play as Peter Quill. And to me, that's kind of disappointing. That is kind of disappointing. I mean, maybe they meant just for the first mission, and there are skins that were given out for the pre-orders for all the characters, so maybe at least you can change skins. I don't know if you get to be the characters, but it's disappointing because all the Guardians have such cool, unique skills to bring to the table. To be Peter Quill and just be like, hey, use your sword on that, use your gun on that, Rocket, you know, Gamora, Drax, you do that thing, Groot, do your thing, man. It's just telling them to do things instead of being able to switch to the other character and control them for a moment and switch back. That seems like a real missed opportunity. And I know it'd be probably a lot more complicated as far as creating this game and having the different combats and abilities and styles and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I get it would be more complicated, but I just feel like it's a missed opportunity. And again, maybe in the story missions, you'll have moments where you get to bounce to the other characters and have these kind of unique moments with them. That would be really cool. But from what we've been told, you're only playing as Peter Quill. And I feel like in a Guardians of the Galaxy game, when each character is so unique and brings different tools to the table, that is a missed opportunity. Ultimately, I think this is something you just have to get your hands on, for the most part. There's obviously that last disappointment that doesn't really have anything to do with necessarily playing the game. But for the rest of it, maybe it's just something I have to get my hands on, play, and kind of see what works. But from what I've seen so far, I'm happy with some of their choices. I'm mainly worried about the execution and how this is all going to play out. But honestly, I will take it over Avengers any day of the year, because that game is up next that we'll talk about. It's questionable as hell. But Guardians is coming out this year, on October 26th. So we'll be able to find out one way or the other very soon. Speaking of Avengers, let's kind of roll through these rest pretty quick here. So speaking of Avengers, Avengers is getting, you know, they kind of showed off some of the updates that we already knew were coming. The Cosmic Cube, the Patrol Mode, they look okay. We'll see how they play out, because that's always the big question. Let's see how this actually plays out, because the Red Room thing and the other things you've shown, it's kind of like, well, it looks great on paper, from what you say. But then when we get in the game, content's lacking, content's broken, it just isn't working, well then, that was useless. So we'll see how these things play out. We got a better look at Black Panther, that DLC, which looks a lot fuller and has quite a bit of potential. We saw some new robot spider enemies. We got to see Ulysses Claw as the villain. We didn't get to see too much of the other Avengers. So I feel like it's kind of going to be like Hawkeye's DLC where they weren't really present. Which again is a missed opportunity because you kind of want to bring these characters into the Avengers and see how they bounce off each other and react and how they work as a team and integrate themselves into the Avengers and how that all works. But with Hawkeye, it's like you were just kind of hanging out with Kate Bishop. Like, they never really showed any of the Avengers in the cutscenes or had those moments where, you know, personalities clashed and stuff like that. Like, you saw that in the campaign with the main group, but the expansions, they just haven't really done that yet. And I'm worried with Black Panther, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to get this really cool character, but he's not going to really interact too much with the other Avengers. I mean, we did see them once in that little snippet of a cutscene, but that is a question for me. Now, the question is this campaign for this expansion going to be replayable? Because if it's not, well, then it's, again, something that's freaking useless. Then it's something that's, again, just so damn useless. I don't know why they keep doing this. They put the time, the effort to do the motion capture, bring in the actors, create the scenes, and they're like, you can play it once, and then it's gone forever. Like, they just recently added the ability to replay the campaign in the main game. But the Kate Bishop DLC, the Hawkeye DLC, you still can't replay those little campaigns. You can replay some of the missions, but you don't actually get, like, the cutscenes, the full campaign experience. Which, again, missed opportunity. Why would you even create those things and then just be like, you can do it once, and then we're not giving you access to that at all? It's out the window. Because, like, people work hard on these things. Like, who wants to work hard on something for someone to watch it once, and then it's like, this message will be destroyed in 10 seconds. Like, it's just, why would you do that? So will this campaign be replayable? That is a big question for me. And then we also saw no Spider-Man. There's no sign of Spider-Man, which I thought was weird because I feel like if Spider-Man was coming this year or very soon, E3 is probably like the best place to drop like a, you don't have to put like a full out trailer, but drop like a Spider-Man hint that this is still coming. But let's be honest, this game's on its last legs. This game's on its last legs. We have no idea how long this is going to survive for, even if it makes it to the end of the year. Like, Black Panther is their last hope. This has to be some serious quality content. And even if it is, I personally don't know if it's going to save this game. Time will tell. So we'll just have to see how it all goes. After that, I watched a couple things that I really didn't know what I was looking at, to be honest. So it was Guardians of the Galaxy. There was something in between, then like Avengers, and I knew what was going on there. Then after that, I was like, I have no idea what I'm looking at half the time. Babylon's Fall. Like, what am I watching here? I have no idea. But it's a PS, you know, exclusive for 4 and 5. Life is Strange. I've actually heard those are quite good games. Haven't played them myself. Maybe I should look into it because it kind of looked interesting. So we're getting a Life is Strange Remastered Collection and a brand new Life is Strange called True Colors. That's coming out on September 10th. So there's new stuff coming out for that as well. And then we got the rumored Final Fantasy Origins called Stranger of Paradise. And that comes out 2022. And there's a demo coming to the PS5. Now apparently the demo at the time of this recording has already been released, because I just took a quick peek on social media, and apparently it's a broken-ass mess. You literally can't play the demo. The files are corrupted, and you can't play it. So, like, how do you put out a demo for something, and it just doesn't work? It just doesn't. Like, Square Enix, man, you guys are boggling my mind. This makes the Avengers make sense sometimes. Like, you just put something out, broken as hell. Like, and this is the crap I'm talking about in the gaming, you know, in the gaming industry, where they'll just put out something that's trash. You can't even play the demo. Not that it's so buggy you can't play it. You just can't play it. And at least no one had to pay for the demo. I hope you didn't have to pre-order to get the demo access. Because if you did, it just don't work. So it's just crazy to me for a limited time that you're going to put this demo out here and then just be like, ah, well, yeah, it don't work. It don't work. So, I mean, this was a Square Enix presentation. It was crazy. I mean, overall, I didn't have a terrible time with it because I guess I wasn't expecting, like, I don't really know what the problem is for a lot of these games that people are pissed off about because I don't really play these games. So that's just me. That's just me. So for the presentation itself, though, but it wasn't long. So I was fine with how it was. I was like, okay, I didn't understand most of this stuff, but it didn't take too much of my time, which is good by me. I thought it was okay. Most people thought it was terrible. Take it as you will. I think they had some interesting games to show. And again, I think they used their time pretty well, even though it was just kind of put together. And again, people hate it. But yeah, honestly, the majority of the time, I just had no idea what I was looking at, so I'm sure there's a couple people maybe excited about things, maybe not. I'm just glad, honestly, we're going to get a new Marvel game in Guardians. That's pretty cool. I just hope they can pull it off. But given how the demo came out for Final Fantasy Origins, I'm not feeling too confident right now in Square Enix. I'm not feeling too confident. So what did you think of the Square Enix presentation? What games are you excited to play? What did you think of Guardians? Let me know what's on your mind. And that's all for this episode of Gaming Night Radio. Let me know what's going on inside that melon of yours. What are your thoughts on today's topics? You can contact me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. And I'll be back tomorrow with my thoughts on the PC Gaming Show, Future Games Show, as well as some highlights from tomorrow's Take-Two and Indie Showcase presentations. There's some more great stuff happening right now that I'm not watching currently, and we're going to get some more great stuff tomorrow. So I'm excited for it, and I'm going to see you guys here to talk about it. This has been Episode 4. I'm Matt Ayalu. Thank you for listening, and until tomorrow, bye-bye. You've been listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights, with discussions, reviews, news, and calling out bullshit in the gaming industry. You can follow me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.